Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. Greetings. Trying something different today. It's such a nice, balmy morning outdoors here on my patio that I decided to say hello here, 5:57 a.m. from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. I'm going to talk close to my microphone here because I don't want to disturb the neighbors. And I kind of like the intimacy. I kind of like this. I can only do that with this microphone because it's got such a good pickup, you see. So we're going to talk about Mother Teresa today. But first, I have to tell you, concerning Pentecostal manifestation, you know that I'm not for this stuff. In fact, as far as emotions go, as far as the soul versus the spirit, somebody recommended one of my own videos to me, and I watched it yesterday. I hadn't seen it for a while. I'm commending it to you today. I'm linking to it down here. It's called They Worship Their Worship and Love Their Love. Yeah, I have to say it is a classic of the classics. So many of you probably have not seen it. It's probably one of the most bizarre videos you'll ever see, but packed with truth. Linked below is from my series Return to Zender. Yeah, if somebody doesn't know, if anybody doesn't know, I did a series called Return to Zender. I did 151 shows. You can find it on my homepage, martinzender.com. Scroll down the left-hand side. You'll see Return to Zender. So, back to Pentecostal manifestations. I told you that I swam in the ocean over the weekend. What I did not tell you is that my fellow believer, Marion Travis, and I, Marion being a good friend of mine, we were at the home of our other good friend and your fellow believer, Manfred Jones. We were talking about the snatching away. And Marion and I, we just had this rush of joy and appreciation for our expectation in Christ. And as it turns out, Manfred was there to record it. This is so spiritual and so Pentecostal, it's probably going to shock you, but here it is. Well, I hope you enjoyed that very spiritual manifestation. It looked like it was soulish, but it wasn't. It was completely mature. This I know. And it was spontaneous, which proves it was spiritual. So there's that. Now, back to the saint, so-called, of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. I need to say this. I'm not taking away any of the good works Mother Teresa did. Feeding the poor, giving the Calcuttanians, the people of Calcutta, delivering them from poverty, giving them love, giving them hope that they wouldn't have had without Mother Teresa. I'm not taking that away. The whole idea of this is to show you the negative impact of a religious disposition on the self. So I'm not talking about Mother Teresa's works. I'm talking about the lady herself. She was a tortured person because death hung over her head, inadequacy hung over her head, guilt, the whole shebang. And it's all due to religion. This is what religion will do to you. And if I can show that in the world's ultimate saint, then we can surely say that anyone of a religious disposition of whatever degree is going to have these difficulties. Now, the lighting's going to change now as I bring up my article. I wrote an article in April of 2015. It was part six of a series. It's called Death of the Old Humanity, Part Six. This is from the ZWTF. You can find this newsletter. In fact, I'll link to it below. I think I forgot to do that yesterday. I left off with a quote from Mother Teresa. I'm not going to make fun of. I'm not going to use a voice. I'm not going to use my Mother Teresa voice. That's my Mother Teresa voice. Because this is not funny. This is sad. So I'm just going to use my regular voice to quote the Saint of Calcutta. All right, now, the amazing thing is that this woman confessed her apprehensions about her own salvation. I thought I heard a rattlesnake. Was that a rattlesnake? Now we're talking about my apprehensions. What the hell? Did you hear that? Was I the only guy that heard that? Okay, anyway. In 2007, Doubleday published a book called Mother Teresa, The Private Writings of the Saint of Calcutta. It's amazing that these writings were published, but maybe in the end, Mother Teresa wanted people to know of her inner anguish. This is a quote from her. If I ever become a saint. See, she's already got the wrong idea about becoming a saint. She thinks that the only way you can become a saint is if after you die, the Catholic Church analyzes your life and you have to have a couple miracles to your credit, which are all subjective opinions about... Yeah. It's just all based on people's personal understandings, their beliefs. It's humans. In the Catholic Church, humans vote for sainthood. This is crazy. As I said yesterday, this is very important for everybody to know. True sainthood is declared by God, and it means that you have been separated to Him. It makes no comment on your moral status. Sainthood has nothing to do with being a good person. It means that you have been called by God for a task. You've been called by God, in our case, for aeonian life. We're saints. And Paul calls us saints. And he doesn't take a survey. When he calls the Corinthians saints at the beginning of the book, he doesn't take a survey. He doesn't act like Santa Claus and see who's naughty and who's nice. No. Paul doesn't do that because sainthood is an objective declaration of God. Okay. Mother Teresa, quote, if I ever become a saint, I will surely be one of darkness. I will continually be absent from heaven to light the light of those in darkness on earth. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now this is from me in the article. I say this, self-loathing and guilt. Self-loathing and guilt stuck to this poor woman's soul like the mud of Calcutta to cow hooves. Many will be shocked to know this. Here's another quote from the book. I quote Mother Teresa. Since 1949 or 50, this terrible sense of loss, this untold darkness, this loneliness, this continual longing for God, which gives me that pain deep down in my heart, darkness is such that I really do not see. Well, that's the truth. Neither with my mind nor with my reason, the place of God in my soul is blank. There is no God in me. When the pain of longing is so great, I just long and long for God. And then it is that I feel He does not want me. He is not there. God does not want me. Sometimes I just hear my own heart cry out, my God, and nothing else comes. The torture and pain I can't explain. Unquote. I can explain it, Mother Teresa, I can explain it. Sin had enslaved you, making you a debtor to Jesus. This is the idea of your religion, that when we see Christ on the cross, we're supposed to think of what we can do to make it up to Him, to give Him something so that His sacrifice will not have been so one-sided. But this is what Mother Teresa was thinking. She was thinking, how could she ever repay Jesus? But she would try. She'll take a vow of poverty, a life dedicated to self-erasure, a daily mental checklist of inner darknesses. Each sunrise found her waking the old humanity, shaking it from the sleep of death, prodding it, probing it, crying to it, then writhing beneath its weight, which of course was dead weight. Quote, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness." That's Paul in Romans chapter 6. Remember that? Mother Teresa was a slave of sin because she fought it her whole life. Paul says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Mother Teresa was so far removed from the realm of God declaring her righteous that she could not taste it, sense it, smell it, experience it in any way. For the same reason that righteousness eluded the Jews, it escaped Teresa. She sought it from within. She sought it from within when all the time it was outside of her. This was the burden with which religion cursed her, seeking righteousness within. Paul wrote the following concerning the Jews, but it is more than appropriate to say this of the saint of Calcutta. This is Paul from Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. "Indeed, brethren, the delight of my heart and my petition to God for their sake," that is the sake of his brethren according to flesh, "is for their salvation. For I am testifying to them that they have a zeal of God, but not in accord with recognition. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, were not subject to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the consummation of law for righteousness to everyone who is believing." Unquote. So, Mother Teresa was no more a believer than those sons of Israel. She was no more a believer than those sons of Israel supernaturally blinded to their own Messiah. Her Messiah hung on a cross in vain, as far as her recognition goes. And she, Mother Teresa, kept him pinned there on her little metal cross on the end of her rosary. Yeah. She prayed to his small metallic body, then struggled to finish his work. No wonder she couldn't find anything inside herself. Finish the work of salvation? This is what she attempted to do. And this is what all religious people attempt to do, including my own son. Well, in her mind, and in the mind of every religious person, Jesus expected it of her. She owed him. That's what they told her. You owe the Savior now for what he did for you. She was nothing. Oh, if only she were nothing. Then she'd be free. If only Mother Teresa realized that she was nothing and that Christ saved her while she was infirm, while she was a sinner. Romans chapter 5. But no. She could not enjoy that freedom because they told her that she had to repay Christ. There's no freedom in that. Christ wants thanked. He doesn't want repaid. The professed inner nothingness of religion is a sham. They say, we're nothing. We're nothing. That's a sham. That's a sham. It's a pose. For this nothingness must continually produce its own faith, must continually produce its own obedience. Some people wonder, they get upset at me. Some people like wonder why I spend my life hating and exposing that which ultimately hates and exposes the well-meaning Christ. I hate religion. I expose religion because it mocks Christ. He meant well, but he didn't finish what he started. The Catholics, every religion, they build Christ a house of worship. They want to enshrine and honor him. They visit him there. And this is the only reason that he's kept mindful of them, because they go to his house, and visit him. Oh, they don't dare neglect him. No, no. Because you see, he has a personality flaw that no one really likes to talk about. Jesus does. He's got this little personality flaw. See, he needs love in order to give love. This is the message of religion. Jesus Christ needs love. He's codependent. He needs reciprocation. He needs your love in order to love you. If he doesn't get it, he won't give it. But that's not the worst of it, no. But he'll rather doom the person incapable of loving him to a fate worse than death, which is eternal conscious torment. Can't you at least visit him once a week, like a grandparent in a nursing home? The supernatural power, the satanic power blinding Christians and Mother Teresa to their own Christ is truly demonic. Looking for the answers within, looking for righteousness inside of herself, this is why Mother Teresa could never find it. This is why she found only darkness. She found only failure. The result of that was frustration. The cloud of death and doom was hanging over her head because they told her she had to find something within to respond to Christ and to make herself worthy of his sacrifice. This is the lie of religion.